This morning we're continuing what we talked about last time about faith and about the idea of paths to the prayer of faith. Path to the prayer of faith. And I start with this question here you'll see up there. Does faith really matter when you pray? I guess everybody would say, well, yeah, it matters. It matters whether you pray in faith or not, but sometimes I hear people say, well, I try to have faith. I pray, but I don't always have faith the way I should when I pray. Does it really matter that we have faith when we pray? We're going to look at that and maybe some ways that we haven't done it before. I want to see you to see this first scripture here in Mark chapter 11. We're going to look at some scriptures, then I'm going to go to one and we'll camp on one for a little while. But this one here is, therefore I tell you, Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. Well, believe and faith are the same word in the Greek. Faith is the noun and believe is the action word. But they're rooted in the same word. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Some people say, that's hard to do. I can't do that. How could I ever pray and believe I've already got it? Well, that's what faith does. Faith is the kind of thing that you'll hear about Abraham. Faith is that thing where God calls things that are not as though they were. So Abraham did too. God told Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I might. He said, I will. And Abraham accepted that, believed God, and that was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham got into that thing of, if God said it, I believe it's already happened. Now, Jesus teaches the same thing here in Mark chapter 11. He said, if you want to see action, if you want to see some prayers answered, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it, you'll have it. So does he say there faith matters? The next scripture you'll see on the next slide here is Matthew chapter 21, which is a different way of saying the same thing because it's the same incident, if I remember right. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. You can write these down if I'm going too fast for you. If you believe, you will receive. If you what? Believe, you will. He didn't say you might. He said you will. You will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believe. If you believe, you will receive. So belief is my job. God's giving is his job. My job is to believe what he says. His purpose is to bless us. But our part of that is not to make it happen, but to accept it and believe it and receive it. So he says, you will receive. You will, if you believe whatever if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe, comma, you will receive. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's true? That the way God thinks, the way God works, the way God is that he expects faith. Why does God expect faith? Well, you know, if I were to lie to you and you caught me in a lie, that would change your opinion of me, wouldn't it? You'd say, I don't trust him. And you'd go back and you'd wonder about the other things I told you, were all of those true or not? And then I tell you anything else, you would weigh it along. If I tell you something, you would be weighing it in your brain. Wouldn't you be saying, I don't know if I can believe this because he told me the wrong thing last time. It wasn't just a mistake. He lied to me. If you don't have faith in God, you're calling God a liar. You're saying, God, all your word says I'm supposed to have faith. All your word tells me that you are God, that you never make a mistake, that you never lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And so if I'm really having faith, what I'm saying is I believe you and I believe you are trustworthy. And I believe you will never lie to me. You never have, and you never will. I believe. So when God makes you a promise and you say, I don't know, I haven't seen that work in my life, you're saying that you don't trust God. Faith trusts God. Faith and trust are first cousins, aren't they? Faith trusts God. Faith says, whatever God has said, I believe it. Whatever God has said, I accept it, even though it may be hard for my little brain to process. My little pea brain can't get it, but I believe it. You believe with the heart, don't you? You don't believe with the brain. Now, you gather facts with your brain, but with your heart. Romans 10 says, with the heart man believes. So with the heart, you're believing. What's the heart? Well, it's your spirit, your inner being, believes. And so he's talking here about that kind of faith where if you believe, you will receive. Now, that's not just open-ended. I want, you know, if I want stuff for me selfishly, it's all bounded within the framework of being a disciple. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, a serious disciple of Jesus, what am I likely to pray for? I'm likely to pray for other people. I'm likely to pray that people will come to Christ. I'm likely to pray for you to get well or get better. I'm probably going to pray for our church, this church here, to do well. I'm probably going to pray for a lot of things, but I'm not always going to pray. We do pray for things for us. Jesus said, ask for daily bread, right? Pray. You can ask for your daily bread. You can ask for anything. God loves you. He'll give you what you need, and He'll give you what you ask for. But if you say, whatever I ask for, if I believe it, it will happen, that you're saying what Jesus said. He said that, not me. So that passage is in Matthew. But if you believe, well, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. James chapter 5. Do you remember that one, don't you? Where James said, if anybody's sick, they should call for the elders. The elders come, anoint them with oil, pray over the sick. And then he says this. The prayer that isn't sure will raise the sick. No. The prayer that's kind of a formal prayer. No. What did he say? The prayer of faith. The prayer that is convinced. The prayer that is fully persuaded. You see, I prayed for people, and we do that sometimes. And sometimes you see them healed and sometimes you don't. And the problem, I think, is with me, in that if I go into a situation like that, I'm going to pray for you. I better come armed. I better come armed with scriptures. I better come armed with the attitude of faith that I believe that you're going to get better. If I don't believe you're going to get better, how can you believe you're going to get better? If you don't believe you're going to get better, then you're probably not going to get better. Without faith, it's impossible. That's what God said, right? So James said the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. When we pray, we need to be praying in faith. Well, how do you pray in faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You have to be, this is not just church. This is a lifestyle. This is a way of living. The Christian life is a way of living. It's a way of living every day. It's a way of living 24/7. It's a way of living that you're dedicated to. It's a way of saying, of living that says, I want that word in me every day. It's a way of living that says, I'm praying. I'm praying for people. I'm praying for the people I love to come to Christ if they're not yet Christians. It is not just come to church and get a little download and then go about your business. This has to be done in your life, your way, every day. God's will, God's way, this day. That's a good prayer for every day, isn't it? I want God's will, God's way, this day, right here, in me. It's a way of life. Somebody wrote one time, I think I can paraphrase it correctly, he said, the Christian life has not been tried and found lacking. The Christian life has been found challenging and left untried. Isn't that true? It's not that the Christian life will fail you. It is that we look at it and we try it and we say, this could be challenging. This could be, my old ego might have to take a back seat to Jesus. And if my old ego takes a back seat to Jesus, that might be sort of painful. But not like the cross was. Not like the whipping post was. Come on now, we need to grow up a little spiritually and say, I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing for real. I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm not just a fair weather believer. I'm one of those people that's going to stick it out. I'm going to stay with it. That doesn't mean I won't make mistakes. That doesn't mean I won't disappoint myself and God sometimes, but it means I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on, keeping on. So James said, the prayer of faith. Well, how is the prayer of faith cultivated? It has to be cultivated. You can't just walk in and say, I think I'll have faith today. Let me pray for you. No. It comes out of a lifestyle. There's an old story about somebody, they had an oratory contest, so people would get up and say they had a little piece they were supposed to say by memory, and they get up and quote this or quote that, and one young man got up and did the 23rd Psalm, and everybody was, oh, he didn't miss a word. He was the 23rd Psalm, and oh, it was beautiful. You know, he did a good job. Then an older man, had been a Christian for many years, got up and did the 23rd Psalm later in the program. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And somebody said, what was the difference in those two? Somebody said, the first man knew the psalm, the second man knew the shepherd. He had spent some time cultivating his faith. You can't just walk in, let me pray for you, I think I got faith today. No, it has to be, you have to work at it. And James' assumption is elders ought to know that. Elders ought to be doing that. Elders ought to, but the fact that they're elders ought to be, have been working on cultivating their faith and cultivating their life. So James says it's very important that if you pray for the sick, you need to have faith. The next one, Hebrews 11:6 that we read during communion, without faith it is extremely hard to please God. Is that what it says? Now, that's a big statement to say there's some things God that are impossible for God. And one thing that's impossible for God is for Him to be pleased with you if you don't have faith. Now, you're not earning your way into that. He gave you some faith to even become a Christian, didn't He? Paul wrote that, I believe it was in Romans 12, where he talked about every person has a measure of faith. We all got some faith when we became believers. He put that faith in you by the Holy Spirit so you could at least respond to Him and say, yes, I believe. I believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So that faith kicked you off, and now you have this faith. But now the issue is, are you using it? Are you using that faith to please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because if you want to come to God, you have to believe that He exists. Obviously, if I don't believe God exists, I'm not going to have faith in God, right? Do you believe He exists? Well, you got that part right. James in one place said, yeah, demons do that. Do you remember that passage where James said, demons believe and tremble? Why don't they get anything? Because they don't have faith in God. They know God's powerful. They know Jesus is the Son of God. They try to stay away from Him. This says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because you have to believe first He is, but you also have to believe this about God. What do you have to believe about God? That He rewards. He doesn't expect you to live the Christian life with no reward. And that He rewards now. And He rewards later. That He rewards. What's a reward? A payment. They reward you sometimes, maybe you don't think enough, they reward you for working. You have to believe that about God, that He's not going to stiff me, He's not going to lie to me, He's not going to shortchange me, He's not going to give me something I don't want or need, He's not going to hurt me, He's not trying to keep me out of heaven on a technicality of some kind. You have to believe God rewards those who seek Him. If I'm seeking Him and I want to know Him and I want to be close to Him and I want to experience His presence, He responds. But without faith, it's impossible to make Him happy. You have to believe He is, you believe He rewards. This next slide, a couple of statements. Did you know that you can pray with that kind of faith? Did you know you can develop your faith the way you pray? You pray and you're praying in faith and you're seeing answers everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice to pray for your family members that you know that are not believers and see them come? We talked about George Mueller's prayer not long ago, praying for 5 friends as soon as he became a believer. He prayed for 5 friends and he got them all, but a couple of them were out. One of them was after he died. He prayed for 52 years. Because he prayed in faith. Faith doesn't mean you get it tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. Faith means you stay in there and you stay in there and you hang in there. So this statement is, do you believe, do you know that you can pray with that kind of faith? God did not make it impossible for us to do. God did not make it so hard that only super disciples are able to do it. No, it's all of us. Did you know that faith is a choice? All right, we're going to get down to it now. The title of this section is The Faith Choice. Did you know faith is a choice? People say all the time, it's hard to believe. I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. It's hard to believe. Well, it's funny because you'll see people sometimes on some event, on news event on television, something will happen, and it'll happen right in front of them. I say, I can't believe that. Well, it just happened. You don't have to believe it. It just happened. Can you believe what God wants you to believe? It's a choice. Let me give you some help on that. It's a choice. Mark 11:22. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. We've already talked about it. When the fig tree incident happened, Jesus told his disciples, they wondered how he did that, and what was his answer? He didn't tell them a lot of detail. He didn't go into all kinds of things about it. He just simply said this, have faith in God. Have faith in God is a direct order. If I can't do that, why would he tell me to do it? If I cannot have faith in God, why would Jesus say, you need to do it, do it, do it now? But Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, you obviously can, or he wouldn't say do it. Would he tell you to do something that's impossible for you to do? No, he wouldn't. So faith is a choice. This one we're going to look at for a minute, Mark chapter 9. We'll camp on this one for a minute. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 is where it begins. Mark 9:14. Jesus and Peter, James, and John, I believe it was, were up on the mountainside. Jesus was transfigured. You remember that scene where his clothes became as white as white, whiter, it says, than anybody could wash them, and his face glowed. And so they saw him in the presence of his father. Moses and Elijah showed up. And now they come back down the mountain. Well, that's a high point. Talk about being on the mountaintop. That was a mountaintop. And now they're coming back down the mountain. Verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, he had left the rest of them behind, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. So they've been on this mountaintop experience, and they, isn't that the way life is sometimes? You ever had a mountaintop experience and then you're down in the valley? Well, they came down in the valley, and the rest of his disciples are in a big argument. And the teachers of the law, which were people who studied the law of Moses all the time, are arguing with his disciples. And so Jesus comes up and says, verse 15, Mark 9:15. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about with them? A man in the crowd said, Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that's robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth or grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but what happened? They couldn't do it. They could not do it. Why did Jesus, when he put his finger on the reason why they could not do it, what did he say? Look at the next verse. Oh, unbelieving or faithless, some versions have faithless, faithless generation or faithless group of people. This whole generation, we talk about generations today, right? Millennials, baby boomers. Well, he's looking at a generation there and he's saying, you don't have any faith. Faithless generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Look at what he said. We just found out that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you don't have faith, you kind of irritate God. Was Jesus irritated with these people? His own disciples. He was irritated with them. How long am I going to have to put up with you? If somebody said that to you, you'd be offended, wouldn't you? But he said it to them, and he says it to us sometimes. If we're not going to have faith, how long are you going to do this? How long will I have to put up? Why would he rebuke them if faith is not a choice? If it's not a choice, he had no right to rebuke them. If somebody, God forbid, has lost an arm and a leg, in combat protecting us, you wouldn't go up and rebuke him for not having an arm, would you? He'd say, well, Dad, you can't. What can I do about this? If Jesus said to them, oh, unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you? If they couldn't choose to have faith, that wouldn't be much of a rebuke. The rebuke would be out of place. Then he goes on in the story. Mark here goes on in the story in verse 20. So they brought the boy to him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood. It's often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. So the man's really disappointed. His son is in this horrible situation. And he said, but I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. If you can, he doesn't know Jesus that well, does he? He just heard about him. He's just heard about this teacher, this rabbi that's supposed to have all this ability to do things, but he doesn't know him. He's not a disciple. He's not, as far as we can tell, he's not a born-again believer, disciple. And so, but he just says to Jesus, is there anything you can do? Sounds like some people I know that have had terrible diseases, and they go to this doctor and this doctor and that doctor and this doctor, and finally they go to a doctor somewhere in some big specialty hospital somewhere in Mayo Clinic or the one in Houston, and they get with a doctor and say, nobody's been able to help me. Now, if you can do anything, it's really not much of a faith statement, is it? If you can do. The man looks at Jesus, if you can do, can you do any of these? I don't know. Nobody's able to help us. Your disciples, they talk big, but they can't do anything. If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. What's Jesus' reply? Well, it's mixed. Depends on what version you use. This NIV says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Some versions put it this way. The man said, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus reversed it on him. No, if you can believe. Was it a lack of Jesus' power that they didn't get the boy healed? No. Was it a lack of God's love that they didn't get the boy healed? Where was the lack? Where was a short? If you have an electrical problem at your house, you hire an electrician, they come in, they're going to probably try to find a short somewhere. Where's the short circuit in this thing? Jesus said, it's you. My disciples, he'll say later, my disciples couldn't do this because they don't have their faith either. But now, if you can believe, Father, this dad here, Dad, if you can believe, what? All things are possible. Boy, that's amazing. If you can, he's telling him, this is your choice. Just choose. You want to have some faith? If you'll have your faith, if you choose to have faith, we can do this. Isn't that something? We have a lot more control than we admit over these situations. That when we don't have faith, things don't work. And when we do have faith, things work. Because that's just the way God set it up. You can question it all day long. I could go to the tallest building in America and question the law of gravity. I don't know why the law of gravity is here. Why do we have the law of gravity? The law of gravity gets in the way, you know. And the law of gravity, if we just were weightless, things might be better. And I could fuss at the law of gravity all day long and jump, and I'm still going to get hurt, right? You can fuss about how God set this up, or you can take advantage of his revelation in the Word here that says, if you can, Jesus, if you can believe. Literally, the Greek says, if you can believe, everything is possible for him who believes. That's literally what it says in the old original language. If you can believe, everything is possible for him who believes. Then what did the father say? I like this. Immediately. How fast is that? As soon as it hit his ears, what did the father say? I do believe. He saw hope for his child. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief or my lack of faith. I do believe. Help me overcome I do believe we're in that shape most of the time, aren't we? You believe some things deep down inside, and then there's your head. The Bible calls it reasonings. James called it wavering. You can believe something in your heart, but sometimes your mind will challenge it, won't it? Your mind will say, but it doesn't happen. I don't know anybody that got healed of this. I mean, those thoughts, Satan will put those thoughts in there, won't he? He'll shoot that to you. So the Father said, I believe. Believe what? Believe you can do this. I have faith in you. I believe you can do this. I believe. Now, don't let me lose that. It's like somebody carrying a big hot cup of coffee, you know, and they're trying to get to their desk, and they're trying to make it without spilling any on their fresh clothes. He's kind of like that. He said, I believe. Now what do I do? I don't want to lose this. Help me with my unbelief. How did Jesus help him? Are you looking at it? How did Jesus help him? Here's how he helped him. He saw a crowd running to the scene. He rebuked the evil spirit. Jesus liked to talk to things, didn't he? He talked to trees. He talked to the mountains. He talked to the waves of the ocean. He talked to the fever. He talked to Peter's mother-in-law's fever. The fever was in her. He rebuked the fever and it left. And so he talked to this evil spirit. What did he say to the evil spirit? Get out. Get out now. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately. Ask him privately what? Why couldn't we do that? He made it look so easy, didn't he? He just said a few words and got the boy off the ground, and that was it. And they said, how come we couldn't do that? This amazing statement, he said. This kind of what? Spirit, demon. This kind can only come out by what? Prayer. And some older manuscripts or different manuscripts have fasting. Jesus is telling them, earlier he said, oh, unbelieving generation, he's telling them, you don't have faith and you haven't been praying. Had Jesus been praying, he'd just been on the mountain praying. Oh, he had, that power was there. The power of prayer was in him, the power of the Spirit. And so he said, you couldn't do it because you haven't been praying. You haven't been praying, and obviously earlier he said you don't have faith. So if prayer and faith linked together, that's a powerful combination, because Jesus said, that's how I did this. How'd you do it? I've been praying. How'd you do it? I have faith in my Father. I don't do anything I don't hear my Father, see my Father do. I don't say anything I don't hear my Father say. So if you want to do this kind of thing, it has to be a lifestyle. If you want to do this, you have to give time to it. You have to be ready for it. He said that at the resurrection of Lazarus. He got to the tomb. Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus got ready to raise Lazarus. Do you remember what he said? John 11, isn't it? And he started praying right there at the tomb. He said, Father, I know you hear me. I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this for those that are standing here. He's letting them know I've been praying about this. He had been praying about it for a long time, I guess, because when he first got word about Lazarus, he stayed, 3 more days where he was. He didn't start right away toward Lazarus. And Lazarus died while Jesus waited. Well, Jesus knew what he needed to do. You may seem like you're letting things die sometimes when you're just praying about it. But a lot of times that's where the power comes from. So he said at the tomb of Lazarus, Father, I know that you hear me. I know that you've always heard me, but I'm saying this for the ones that are standing here. And then he looked at the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Neglect is a killer. neglect of your prayer life, neglect of your faith habits, and you just don't have the power. You just don't have the ability. There are things could be happening in our lives if we just paid attention to this. So what does he say in Mark chapter 9? Faith is a choice. You didn't choose faith. You're an unbelieving generation, so this happened. Let me give you two or three other places. Mark 16, verse 14. I'm going to give you Mark, Luke, and John. We'll look at Mark, Luke, and John in the time. Jesus has been raised from the dead now. He's getting ready to ascend to the Father. He is teaching his disciples a little bit more, 40 days or so, before he ascends back to the Father. So here's a resurrected man with holes in his hands and a hole in his side telling them, I'm the same Jesus you walked with. I'm back. And then he could come in and out of rooms without using doors and windows. He just come through the wall. So he's obviously different, but he's the same Jesus. And he's going back to the Father and be glorified. So these three incidents we're going to talk about are roughly the same thing. Notice what he says to them as his last-minute instructions, in a way, are comparing notes with them. Mark 16, verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11, because Judas is gone now. As they were eating, he rebuked them for what? Their lack of faith. Well, was that their choice? It's always your choice. He said, but I don't know. I want to have faith. I don't choose not to have faith. Well, neglect is a choice. You're neglecting things and you're not going to have the faith. He rebuked them. Have you ever been rebuked? Have you ever been rebuked by a man who came back from the dead? I'd think I'd listen to that. And he says, this is not good. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. When the women who had seen Jesus at the grave, or resurrected rather, came to tell his disciples, they blew it off like, oh, that couldn't be him. What's he saying now? Your lack of faith and your stubborn refusal is not good. He's rebuking them for that. Stubborn refusal, if you look that up in the original, it is their hard hearts. What is a hard heart? It's an unteachable spirit. What's a hard heart? Skeptical. Unbelieving. Kind of like Thomas. What did Thomas say? I got to see it or I'm not going to believe it. That hard heart, I've prayed that before. Lord, I know there's something in me that doesn't want to let go, something in me that doesn't want to respond. Something in me, a little bit of hard thing in there, I pray you remove it. And he did. Wasn't instantaneous, but it disappeared. To humble yourself to God and to believe what God tells you. Isn't it amazing how little, when you get little bitty ones, they just believe what you tell them, generally speaking. You gotta have Jesus said you need to be like these little children. They're humble, they listen, not always, but you know what he means. He means that stage in life. Everybody is bigger than you are, and everybody's smarter than you are, and you just don't know. You can't do anything. You rely on all. You have to rely on everybody. He said you need to be like that. Rely on God that way. He said to them, he rebuked them, he said, it says, for their lack of faith and their hard hearts, even though they had heard that he was back from the dead. That's Mark 16. Look at Luke 24. He met two men, Luke 24. He met these two men. After his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 25. Two men, notice what they said. This is after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, everybody scattered. I mean, they thought it was over. They thought this movement is done. I'm going home. They were walking up the road to a place called Emmaus, and they're going home, and they've given up. And then they said, you know, we heard some rumors. Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't know it was Jesus, and they were downcast. One of them said, Cleopas said, are you only a visitor in Jerusalem? Do you not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? Jesus said, they don't know this is Jesus. about Jesus of Nazareth. And it goes on to say, we thought he was the Messiah, but he's dead. And now we're hearing rumors they might be back. But they don't really believe the rumors. We might be hearing rumors that he's back. Verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart." If you were in school and a teacher called you slow, would that be a... You're a little slow in math, aren't you? That'd be an insult. He said to these men, "You're slow of heart to believe. Is it their fault they don't believe?" Yes. Faith needs evidence, but once you get the evidence, you're supposed to open up and say, "I believe." It's your choice to believe or not believe once you get the evidence. Now, we're going to have evidence for our faith. The Bible's full of it, full of evidence for the faith that we have and life all around us. But you still have to say, "I choose to have faith. I choose." Moses did that to the people. God gave Moses these words back when they were about ready to go into the promised land. Do you remember that statement? He said, "I've given you all of God's words. They're not way up in heaven. They're not way down on the earth. They're right here. His words are in your mouth. They're in your ears. Now, they're blessings and cursings. If you go in that land over there, you're going to have blessings depending on how you react, or you're going to have curses." He said, so choose life. Now, people use that, you know, about abortion, but it literally says choose life. When you go into that land, if you want blessing, choose to believe the blessing. If you want cursing, choose to believe the curse. Choose life. He said, you got a choice to make. We all have that choice to make. We have a choice to make. Am I going to believe God or not? Am I going to believe the positives about what God says? The things that seem too good to be true. Am I going to believe that, or just believe what the world tells me, or what my friends tell me, or what the church folk tell me, or am I going to really believe? Am I going to choose to have faith? John chapter 20. I won't go there and read that, but John chapter 20, verse 27, is about Thomas. And we talked about Thomas a minute ago, where Thomas just didn't believe Jesus was back. He said, if I don't see, I won't believe. If I don't see the holes in his hands, if I don't see the hole in his side, I won't believe. And guess what? Jesus showed up the next time Thomas was in the meeting, and he called Thomas over and he said, look. And he made Thomas put his finger. He said, I'll put his finger in the holes, and I won't believe till I put my hands in there in the side. And he was adamant, I'm not going to believe. I do not believe he's back from the dead. Nobody comes back from the dead. I don't believe it, and I won't believe it until I see it. Well, he saw it all right, but Jesus called him over. And he said, stop doubting and believe. Why would he tell Thomas that? Because it was all up to Thomas. Somebody told Thomas Jesus was back from the dead, and he didn't believe it. And he said, I won't believe it. I what? I won't believe it. I will not believe it until I see it. Now, if you walk around like that in life, you're not having faith in God, and God's not happy, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to be a believer. You have to say, I believe what God tells me. I don't care if the whole world, the whole world doesn't know it. The whole world laughs at me. I don't care if God said it. That's it. He said, stop doubting and do what? Have faith. Stop doubting and believe. Faith is a choice. And when we get that, our head wrapped around that, if you get our head wrapped around that, okay, I choose every day to have faith. I know the evidence is there, and I read the evidence, and I see the Bible, and I know the Bible is true, because there's evidence all over the place in the Bible. Prophecies fulfilled. Prophecies from the old law fulfilled in Christ. And all these things, there's plenty of proof that your faith is based on solid evidence. But at some point, you'll be like Thomas. You'll get at some point where the evidence will be there, but you'll think, I need a little more. I need to see it. And that's when God will say, stop doubting and believe. So this week, we're going to stop doubting, right? We're going to stop doubting, and we're going to say, I believe. I choose. Not ignorantly, not just, some people call it a blind faith. We don't have a blind faith. We have evidence for what we believe. Biblical evidence for what we believe. But you have to say this week, I choose to believe. I choose to believe the best about God. And that's why faith pleases Him, because you choose to believe who He really is. God is love. God cannot lie. You choose to believe that, don't you? And you choose. That's the last verse up here. I had already talked about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Hebrews 4, verse 2, I'll cut to the chase, says, it talks about faith, and it talks about why Israel did not go into the promised land that first generation. They had to wait 40 years and stumble around the wilderness till they all died off and the young generation got to go. And it says, because they heard the word and they did not mix it with faith. Any of you out there who cook ever left a main ingredient out of your cake and like, this tastes terrible? Israel left the main ingredient out of all they heard from God and all the promises and all the pointing to the promised land and all things they were going to get when they got there, and they left out one ingredient, and that was faith. The older version says they did not mix it with faith. I forgot what the NIV says, something to that effect, but I like the way that's put. They did not mix it with faith. If you don't mix things with faith, you don't get the result. Is faith a choice? Yes. The last slide, Jesus said this to Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Did you know Jesus is praying for you today? He intercedes for us all the time, doesn't he? So let's do this. Let's have him pray for us that our faith won't fail. That we'll wise up and we'll walk in faith and we'll make the choice all week long. Father, we ask you that. We know that you care more than we do about it. All that's going on around us, that you love us more than we ever could love ourselves or love anyone else. And we ask you, because of your love and because of your promises, that this week, as Jesus prays for us, that our faith will not fail, that we will take it to heart and we will open our hearts and humble ourselves, and that we, Father, will choose to believe you. We're sorry, Father. We repent. We're sorry of not believing you for all the unbelief we have had. We're sorry, Father, that we have misunderstood. We have sold you short. We have not really believed that you are who you say you are. And we purpose this week to stop doing that. We will stop doubting and we will believe, because we have made a choice right now this morning. I know some have right now in this prayer. They've made a choice right now to say, I'm going to stop doubting. I'm going to stop talking all the doubt and tragedy in this world. And I'm going to believe your word and walk in that belief. And we thank you, Father. We know without your help we can't do this. But if we make the choice, we understand that, Father, as we make the choice, you're always there to help us. We make the choice right now, and we know you're helping us in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Take your songbook and stand with us. Stand with us right now, and we're going to sing this song. If you have a prayer need, come forward when you want to, and we'll pray with you right here. So stand with us and let's sing this.